Good morning. It's good to see you. Oh, I'm quiet this morning. That's kind of good for a change, I guess. It's a great day the Lord has given us, and it's a time to gather in His name, and I'm glad that you're able to be here, and I want to trust the Lord has something for each of us this morning in some way. From His Word, that He'll minister to our hearts and lives. And we're going to carry on in 1 John chapter 2, if you want to go there. 1 John 2, I just breezed through verse 27 of 1 John 2, and so I feel like I needed to take a little bit more time to talk about some things in this end of this chapter. And so might be doing some of that. I'm reading in verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of Him." And let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time to look in the Scriptures. We have come from our varied lives and trials and various difficulties unique to us to gather in Your name this morning to open the Scriptures together. We pray that You'll bless each one, Lord, that it will be something of the Spirit of God for each of us. We pray, Lord, that You might come and take Your word and teach us with it this morning. And we look to You, Lord, expecting You to meet needs. And perhaps someone may even need a miracle, Lord. We pray that You will be working in our hearts. And we pray that You'll be able to do Your work through us. And we pray that You might do something in this time, Lord, through this teaching, Father, and I pray that You would have Your hand in it, that the evidence of the Spirit of God might be here to move in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Welcome. We're doing our Bible study in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 27 talks about the anointing. The anointing that you've received of Him abideth in you. The anointing that you've received of Him. Now, the Apostle John is writing, and he's writing to Christians and to those who are saved, and to teach them a few things. Now the Lord would want to teach us a few things. And are there ever a few things that we need to learn? As I was getting ready this morning, I was thinking about the letters to the churches of the book of Revelation. And the Lord Jesus sending a particular messages to the churches. And in there is the it's not really an accusation, but in there is the realization that to the one church he said, you know, thou sayest, I am rich and increaseth goods, I have need of nothing. But he says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. When I was talking to Susan this morning, she said to me, how are you? And I didn't want to say, I'm wretched. Or I'm miserable. And, you know, that's not the answer that people at church are looking for, but that's the answer that the Lord's looking for. He's looking for how we really are in our hearts. And or I'm poor. Well, we're certainly not poor in Canada, but we might say, well, I don't feel that I have a great reward coming in heaven for serving the Lord. I feel like I'm spiritually poor and need to live for Him and serve Him. And so the Lord talks about the Spirit of God, and I was thinking about the Spirit of God, and I was thinking, how is the Spirit of the Lord with us? With us who know the Lord, saved by Him, rescued from our sins by His precious blood, and washed in that blood, made clean and pure, and so thankful we are. But how's the Spirit of the Lord interacting with us? Is He grieved? Is he quenched, as the Bible speaks of? Is He able to do what He would like to do? Stephen, in his defense, before they stoned him to death, Stephen gave a recitation, really, of the history of the Jews and how God had taken care of them. But he ended it and said, just like your fathers, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. You've resisted them just as they have. And that was when they really got angry with him. But to resist the Spirit of God, and so much that the Spirit of the Lord might want to move in our hearts and might want to move in our lives, but we just resist Him. Oh, we don't want to be emotional, or we don't want to change whatever it is that He's speaking to us about. And this verse is talking about the anointing which we have received of Him. The anointing of God. This is something that every person has received of the Lord, and it's a particular ministry. The anointing was done in the Bible for three people especially. It was done for prophets were anointed, priests were anointed, and kings were anointed. And of course, in that light, our Lord Jesus was all of those, and He's also called the Anointed One, which is really meaning that He's the Messiah. But this is an anointing which you've received of Him. And the Him there, of course, is the Lord Jesus, that you've received of the Lord Jesus. You received this anointing from Him. And what kind of an anointing is this? It's that we have been declared, we are special in God's work. We are special in God's service. We want to be used of Him. We have to be anointed, but everybody has been anointed. And so every child of God can be used of Him. The anointing was done with an oil, usually a special, maybe a fragrant oil, but with an oil, the anointing was done on the priest, on the head, and his hand, his foot. I guess to signify the whole person. Whatever you do with your head and your thoughts, you think, things you say, and whatever you do with your hands and wherever you go with your feet. We have an anointing which is the Spirit of God, and so if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a moment, I want to read that and look at that passage where it talks about this anointing there as well. There's not much said in the Bible about this anointing. John talks about it here as though everybody's familiar with it. From the writing of his gospel, which they already have, the Gospel of John. So 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 21. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not For that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Now, Paul, in verse 21 and 22, really mentions three things of the Spirit of God that we have. We have the anointing. He said, we have been established, which we would say established in our more modern English, but we have been made in Christ to stay there forever. And he hath anointed us with the Spirit of God. Here it just says that he that hath anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit. And we have been sealed in that we are protected in the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have also have the earnest of the Spirit. And many people have made much of the fact that if you look up earnest in the Greek, it is a reference to a down payment. He has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, a down payment, proof that he is going to take us all the way to heaven and that he's going to give us a new body and everything that we still wait for that's part of our salvation. That is future to us. Now, but he says, we've been anointed, and he that anointed us is God. But in 1 John, it says, but the anointing that you received of him and abideth in you, he's talking about the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of the Lord that has anointed us that we might be used of him in this world. And so if I refuse to be used of the Lord, am I not grieving the anointing Spirit, the Holy Spirit upon our lives? And it says, which you have received of him, and it abideth in you. I looked up what several commentators had to say about the anointing of the Spirit. They said it's the extraordinary influences of the Holy Ghost. You receive it from the Lord Jesus himself at salvation. It's the special endowment of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that somebody doesn't lay hands on you and give it to you. It's not something that a pastor can give out or anyone in particular. It is given to us by the Lord Jesus himself. So it's one of those things that's done at salvation that you probably had no idea was happening when you trusted the Lord as your Savior. When you put your faith in him and he took away all our sins and put them as far from you as you possibly can imagine, behind his back, in the depths of the sea, the Bible says. And here you've received it of him, and it abideth in you. The fact that all the saved have it still stands. There's no mention of any feeling. As a matter of fact, well, as I already said, there's not much mention of the anointing of God, really, other than these two verses that talk about it. And so, but it's not mentioned as though it's a feeling thing. It's a usefulness thing, that we might be used of the Lord. And to be used of him, we need the ministry of the Spirit of God, because obviously there are so many sins and imperfections and wrong in our lives. If the Spirit of God is to use us, or if we're to be used of God, we need the Spirit of God to work through us. And then he does perfect things out of imperfect people. And he says, if you notice also in verse 27, and you need not that any man teach you. You received it of him in the first statement there, and it abideth in you. And so these three things, that we've received the Spirit from God, we've to be used of him, and it happened, whether we realized it happened or not, and it abideth in you, and it's there. The word abideth just means to remain, never to leave, never to depart, to continue to be present. Now that's excellent. There might be a lot of things in my life that aren't right, and yet this anointing is a wonderful thing that God has given us, and it's the result of this ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he says also, not only does it abide in you, it just stays in you. You don't lose it. And you need not that any man teach you. You don't need anybody to teach you. You have the Lord to teach you. And the part of the anointing is that we would learn things from God so that we can help others. Nobody is helped if I take the wisdom that I have, the wisdom of man, and try to help someone else with their problems. Nobody's helped with that. Nobody, Dr. Phil all day long is not going to help people, because the needs of people are spiritual needs. They're much deeper needs than just don't do this or do that. We have spiritual needs to be right with God and to be saved by Him, be close to Him in our lives. Our needs are spiritual needs. They're not just the needs that the wisdom of man can fix. That's not going to fix that. And so, what can you get from another child of God even? Well, without the Spirit of God, you say man's wisdom, but with the Spirit of God, and especially when we have taken time to study the Word of God and look in the Bible, we can give things that are of a spiritual nature, and that are from the Lord Himself. And to learn things from the Bible, not just for yourself, but to help other and to be a blessing to other people. He says, you don't need that any man teach you. Now, in the context of 1 John, he's talking about there was some false teachers. There were some people who wanted to bring cults into the church. And they would say, you've got the Bible, or you've got the teaching of the prophets and of the apostles, but you need more than that. You need what we have. And so John says, wait a minute, you don't need what they have. You just need what God has. You need the anointing that teacheth you all things. God teaching us, when we look in the Bible, there's so many things that are there that just in the words, without the help of the Spirit of God, we won't get it. We need the work of the Spirit of God. Just like in 1 Corinthians 1, the Bible says the natural man, meaning a man unaided by the Spirit of God, an unsaved man, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, the Bible says, because they're spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. He can't know those things. We can know so much and get so much from the teaching of God's Word. So I want to look a little bit at the ministry of the Lord teaching us. He teaches us, and then He gives us things to help to minister to other people and to help other people. Let's see, let's start with Job. Job 36 there, just on the other side of Psalms. Job 36. In verse 22, behold, God exalteth by His power. Who teacheth like Him? Now he's talking to Job, and Job become an important person in society, become looked up to by a lot of people because he was a godly man. And he says, now God exalteth by His power. Now, we all know that. God exalts His children and uses us. But then this statement, who teacheth like Him? Nobody teaches like God teaches. Nobody teaches when you open the Bible and say, Lord, I don't understand what I'm reading. Or I don't understand, what are you saying in this passage? How the light can come on, how the Lord can open up your mind to see what by the Spirit of God there is in His Word for you. And then, of course, when we need to be corrected, or we need to be reproved, or disciplined, or however you want to say it. We're not doing what we should be doing. Who teacheth like God? Who teaches like Him? The Lord is an amazing teacher. He can teach you. The trouble with us all the time is we don't want to learn. We're stubborn. We're ignorant. Want to stay that way. We don't want to learn. We resist Him rather than being willing and saying, Lord, you know, if I've got a wrong notion, I got some wrong ideas, and help me to get rid of them and get a Bible view of things and look at things the way you do. And Psalm 94, if you follow me in your Bible, Psalm 94, and we're going to look at verse 9. Psalm 94, verse 9. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. He teaches us out of His Word, out of the Bible. Let me go backwards through this passage. First of all, in verse 12, he said, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. Chastening is that word for discipline or correction. Chastening is what is usually used just of God's children. But here it says, He chasteneth the heathen. Even unsaved people, God tries to teach them things and tries to open up their minds. People just living their lives and don't realize how much they need the Lord. God tries to correct them. He can even chasten the heathen. But He certainly chastens His children. And He teaches us out of His law. God wants to teach us. Now, we often say, you know, we learn a lot of things through the things that happen to us, through difficulties and trials and even temptations. We learn things. And that's true, but the greatest teaching of God is from His Word. You want God to teach you? Get into the Bible. Read some things in the Scriptures. Contemplate, memorize a Scripture passage or a particular verse where the Lord is speaking to you. There's so much to get out of the Word of God. Teaches His children out of thy law, the Bible says. So this is where the main thing, where He teaches us. And yes, in practical things of life, He's teaching us too. But He's often, what He's doing is using what we've already learned from the Bible, and now we see, oh, I need to put that into practice in my life. Here's where I'm not doing what the Lord would have me to do. And we learn from difficult times. And so, in verse 9, He says, He planted the ear. Huh? He put the ear on your head. And then, you know, shall He not hear? And made all of us be able to hear things. You think God can't hear? He that formed the eye. I particularly like one of the Lord's miracles that I like to look at and to think about is a blind man came to Him and couldn't see, and He spit in the dirt and made clay, the Bible says, with His spit. Now think about it. He spit in the ground, and I think the man had no eyeball. And this is what I see from the passage as I look at it. He spit and He made a little ball of mud and He put it in his eye socket and told him to go to the pool and wash. And he went and washed, the Bible says, and came seeing. The Lord made all of us to see, and it is such a blessing to be able to see. Shall He not see, the Bible says? He that made the eye, do you think He can't see you? Oh, He can see you. And He sees what we're doing. And He knows all about us. And you know, He that teacheth man knowledge, in verse 10, shall he not know? And then the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. the thoughts of men and the ideas of men, what men want to do, mankind, all of us, so much of it is wrong. But he knows that it's vanity, it's emptiness, as it doesn't include him. But the Lord can teach, the Lord can chasten, and who can teach like the Lord? And one more passage here in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48. And verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been like being as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. But in verse 17, the Lord says, this is what I'm saying, he said. I'm your Redeemer. I'm the Holy One of Israel. I'm the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. The word profit there means to be useful. God wants to teach us to be useful and to be valuable to him. And the closer I get to him, the closer that you get to him, the more valuable we will be in this world. To walk with God and to be like him in a sinful world. He teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldst go. I'm glad that the Bible says that. I want the Lord to lead me. How many times we do not know what to do? We do not know what we should do or what we should say or what the solution is. We need the Lord to lead us. And I'm thankful that even in simple things of life, God is leading us. And we say, well, if the Lord is leading us, why do I still make mistakes? Well, we make mistakes, I believe, because we're not very good at following, for the first thing. But also, I think the Lord lets us do things. We're a little bit headstrong, a little bit stubborn, and to learn not to be going our way, but wandering off the path. The Lord leads us, and where there are mistakes made, I am reminded, I'm not following as close as I should be. There's something wrong with me. There's never anything wrong with him. There's something wrong with me. And then in the New Testament, in John chapter 6, Gospel of John this time, John chapter 6, in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, our Lord speaking, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, this is an interesting statement. The Lord is saying, it's written in the prophets, quoting now from the Old Testament, and he says, they shall all be taught of God. So everybody is being taught of God. Everybody is being taught of him. And every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. If you learn what the Father is trying to teach you, you'll see you need the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means everybody who doesn't get saved and everybody who won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're being ignorant. They don't want to learn what the Father's trying to teach them. All of life teaches you need the Lord. All of life. Everything that we come up against says you don't have it in you. It's not in man, the Bible says, that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in us. We don't know what we should do, but we need the Lord and we need his help. And of course, the previous verse in verse 44 is one we looked at last week that says, nobody can come to the Savior unless the Father is drawing him. And our Lord says, and we looked at that last week, but here They're all taught of God. The Father's teaching everybody to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what can we say? What can we say? Why did it take me so long to get saved? Why does it take so many people today so long to be saved and come to Him? You're not listening. It's not that the Father is not teaching. The Father's teaching. You're not listening. It's the more of that, you're determined to go your way rather than let the Lord have His way in our lives. And so we all taught of the Lord. And we were saved now. In 1 John, we have the anointing. And you don't need anybody to teach you. You can learn the Bible if you ask the Lord for His help. And if you look in the Bible, if you compare verses in the Bible, you can learn the Bible. And you can know what the Lord would have you to know in the Bible. Now, it's not that you don't need to come to church, though. It's not, we don't need church now because we all taught of God. But God has established church. We need public worship. We need the teaching of God's Word. Excuse me. The Lord has said here in Ephesians chapter 4, of course we need the church has a role, and so the Spirit of the Lord can teach us. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it mentions those that the Lord has chosen, and it says, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He gave these gifted men to the church. Why? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means equipping. It means making complete. So there's things that other people can add to you. Yes, the Spirit of God can teach you, but you also need the preaching of the Word of God and the ministry of the church today, because we all need something added to us. We need to be perfected. We need to be equipped for the work of the ministry. That's right. It's not the pastor alone who does the work of the ministry. It's everybody in the church. We're all to be equipped together that we can do the work of the ministry, and that we can edify the body of Christ, that we can all care for each other, and we can all help each other, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, unto a likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ being in every one of us. And we all have an employment. We all have an occupation of the ministry to tell other people the gospel, that they need Christ as their Savior. They can be saved by faith in Him alone. And to show love and compassion to the needy. The word even means to prepare food and to serve that food to others. And there's a place for that as well. And the leadership that God has provided is there for our spiritual growth and our help. And so even though we can be taught of we have the anointing, we can grow and learn all things, we still need the things of the Word of God. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Paul writes to Timothy here in verse 14. 1 Timothy 4:14. That's 2 Timothy. No wonder it's not in there. Let's try 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. He says to him, neglect not the gift that is in thee, the gift, a special gift of preaching, he says, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the presbytery of the leadership in the church. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may be appear unto all. You might be more useful more useful in serving the Lord. But then he says to this about the Word of God. He says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Where was the doctrine? Well, it's here in the Bible. The Bible was the apostles' doctrine, the Bible says. And take heed unto the doctrine and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see the word saved there? It's like, oh, was Timothy not saved? No. He's not talking about soul salvation. He's using the word save in the sense of deliver or protect or to keep something from danger. The word of God, he says, the word of God, if you spend time in the word of God and you know the Bible and continuing that you'll both save yourself, you'll both, that'll keep you out of sin and those that hear you. He says, those that you are preaching to, you can deliver them. And so the preaching has an effect on us who are already saved in our souls, but we need to be delivered from a lot of temptations and the work of the devil and foolish ideas that would get us into trouble in this world, where we should be serving God and keeping Him first in our lives. And so these things are important. And so the Holy Spirit, and I better get going here. I'm going to run out of time. Let me go back to 1 John chapter 2 for a minute. And so he says, you need not that any man teach you. But nobody could take this verse and say then, now I don't need to go to church. I'll just read my Bible on Sunday. That's not what it's saying. You need the things of the Word of God, but we also need the church that God has established to teach us some other things. The same anointing teacheth you all things and is truth and is no lie. Teacheth you all things. Now, all things. Now, many people have tried to limit what the Bible is saying here. Many people have tried to, I don't know, it doesn't seem to matter. People like to twist the Bible to try to make it say what they want it to say. You can't do that. We need to believe what it says, not try to make it say what we want. Teaches us all things. So here comes the Roman Catholic Church, and they tell you, apparently I've never been a Roman Catholic, but apparently they tell you that only the priest can interpret the Bible. So if you want to know something, you want to know something, you ask the priest. You don't read the Bible. Ask the priest. And of course, that's just completely opposite way what we're taught. We're taught to read the Bible and be in the Bible ourselves. And of course, it's not true that the pastor or a priest is the only person who can interpret the Bible for you or can teach you the Bible. You can learn the Bible. And you can grow and walk with God and be close to Him because you have the anointing that teaches you all things. And that when it says all things, that's exactly what it means. It means all things. All things means everything. And it can't possibly mean everything else. And so all of the doctrine, this is the protection that we have as people of God from cults and from other things. And that if you stay in the Bible, you'll realize when somebody's telling you something, you say, "Oh, that doesn't sound right," and you'll be able. And that's the anointing of the Spirit of God, because He is truth and He is no lie, and even as it hath taught you. So, John's writing to people who've been saved for a while. He says, "You already know that the Spirit of God has already taught you some things, and ye shall abide in Him." And he says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." When we're brought face to face, John brings us face to face with the fact that Jesus is coming. At any time, He's coming. He's going to come and take us home. He's coming in the clouds. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the next thing that is happening is Jesus is coming to take us home. And we're looking forward to that. He says, you need to live in that. He says, if you don't, you'll be ashamed of His coming. You'll be doing something. We talked about last week what other things could be, sins and different things. And so it won't take time to go into all of that today. But to say this, to live expecting His coming is the way to live right in this world. As soon as you say, it's like the Lord said in the parable, about the servants, he said, As soon as he said, "Oh, my Lord delayeth his coming," he began to eat and drink and to beat fellow servants and do all kinds of evil things. He got his mind off the fact that the master was coming. And when the master came, he wasn't prepared, of course, for his coming. And so we're warned here. Little children, abide in him. Now, you need to stay with the Lord. Yes, you have the Spirit of God who will always stay with you. But you have your job to stay with the Lord. And that's what he brings out when he says, "Now, little children, you, let me tell you," he says, "you need to abide in him. You need to stay with the Lord. Don't walk away from the Lord, but walk with him. And because if you walk away, you're going to be ashamed when he comes." We were listening to a song, and the song, a Christian song the other day on the way to church. We didn't hear it this morning. But this Christian song says in the song that one of the things that I'm going to regret the most when I die or when the Lord comes is not spending as much time with you. I thought about that. I thought, is that going to be nearly everybody's regret? That they didn't spend as much time in prayer, or they didn't spend as much time in the Word, or they didn't put as much effort in being close to God all the day long as we should have been. Is that going to be it? Well, maybe that will be. But abide in him, he said, that when he shall appear, because he's just going to appear. And nobody knows the day or the hour, the Bible says, but he's going to appear. And that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And the Lord's coming. Are we ready to meet him? My friend was saying to me just the other day, as we were talking, and we were talking about things, he said, you know, he's quoting someone else, but he said, you can't go back and get it, you know, you can't go back and say, you know, my life, I didn't live for the Lord in this time, or I didn't pray as much as I should have been in the past, or I didn't read the Bible in the past, or I didn't witness a little for it to lost as like I should have before. You can't go back in the past. I mean, you can't relive your life. Whatever's over is over. But what we can do, and I like this, is that we can be all that we should be, and everything that we should have been in the past, we can be today. We've only got today. As of that matter, we've only got now is all we've got. Right now. To be all that we should be in serving the Lord and living for him. And my time is up. I'm sorry. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. We pray that you will speak to us. We thank you for the anointing that works in us. That we can know things and remember things that we've read in the Bible and that you have brought to our attention and taught us. Even through other people and all different things. But we thank you for the ministry of the Spirit of God. We pray that you might minister in our lives today, Father. And help us to be ready for the Lord Jesus because he's coming. And Lord, we want to be ready for you. We don't want to be ashamed and hanging our heads. But we pray that we will be glad to stand in your presence. And we won't feel any difference there than we do here. We'll walk in your presence here. And then be in your presence there. And may you bless us as we consider these things. In Jesus' name, amen.